Greetings, you're listening to St. Paul's Unseen Dimension. My name is Tom, and today is Friday, the 13th. The year is 2022. God, what a day. It's really been something. I have achieved almost nothing today. I did work on some sculpture and some art, and I did some writing, and I had to run to Target because, groceries and stupid shit. Had to go pick up some more cabling because, well, I'd made some arrangements in my household to put some things and in various places, so that way they're not cluttering up the walkway, they're not in the way of anything, they're just out of the way where I can get to them. And so anyway, long story short, I freed up some space in my studio today, and so I just spent the entire day creating a better workspace for me to work in, because right now my workspace, and it's more or less anything with a flat surface scattered throughout the entire house. And it's not that I'm a cluttery person, but I am. It's just that art has this way of creeping into every facet of my life. It's like, you know, it's like communism. It's never ending. It's never sleeping. And it's always looking for another flat surface to occupy. So that's what I've been dealing with today, is cleaning up the clutter. I'm restoring the basement sculpture studio, mostly because it's cooler down here than it is upstairs. This year is going to be ridiculous with utility bills. I know everyone's feeling it, and I am definitely going to do my part in order to make sure that my utility bills are not so outrageous. So I'm going to move my work area downstairs, so that way it'll be nicer climate-wise. Air purifiers definitely going to be needed for sure. But that's the big thing that I did today, was I rearranged my workspace, and I can sit down at my dining room table now, which is crazy. I mean, it's like, holy shit, it's not under like five other projects. Look at that. It's clean. Holy shit. And I've got a desk that's clean too. And I'm as shocked as anyone. I was like, wow, that's made out of wood. What the hell is that doing here? When did I get a desk? Where the hell did that come from? Wow. I just thought it was I thought it was going to come to life, is what I thought. But hey, I knew it was just paper. How much damage could it possibly do to me? No, I spent the day, like I said, just kind of cleaning and you know, processing some stuff. It's been fun. The whole day has really been interesting. I'm currently in the studio du jour, where I'm doing this broadcast, and it's pretty quiet. It's pretty quiet. I did while I was working, listen to yet another Lee Harvey Oswald thing. The phone call that he made from his jail cell to a place in Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, it was the answer to this question is, what are we talking about? Well, apparently, these are documents that came up. A woman named Mrs. Treon, who was working the switchboard that night, she was monitoring the phone call along with another lady, that Lee Harvey Oswald tried to place two phone calls to a guy named John Hurt in Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, it has been speculated, and this is something that it didn't occur to me, but it did occur to me. There's a lot of interesting stuff here that I'm going to unpack. But anyway, this guy, John D. Hurt, the first one wasn't the right one. The second one was. And his name is, like I said, John D. Hurt. And he was, at one point, involved in the intelligence community. However, at 1963, he was 100% disabled. He was in a world of shit. Had no fingers, huge amounts of physical disabilities, and had a propensity to make crank calls to public officials and threaten them. So it's this is a guy who is apparently, they, by all accounts, not the most agreeable human being on the planet, which, you know, I wouldn't know anything about. Nothing like that has ever been said about me at all. I'm a ray of sunshine. Anyway, and I was like, why hadn't I heard about this? You know, and this isn't the first time I actually heard this particular discussion. This is a guy named Grover Proctor, who he's a historian. The guy's brilliant. He really is. And I give him credit for really going down the rabbit hole looking for this stuff. Anyway, this guy, Grover Proctor, he does this, a big thing about it. Anyway, but then it gets interesting because there is this idea that Oswald was not just a disaffected loner, but he was actually part of the intelligence community, that he was selected because he had a certain personality trait. He was a disaffected person. He just, you know, he'd done his part in the military, but apparently at some point, because he had such a marginal personality or whatever, they decided to send that somebody in military intelligence within the Marine community thought he would be a prime candidate for this infiltration program that came out of Raleigh, actually Nag's Head. And they scoop him up. They send him over there to Russia, and he comes back. Now, this is the weird part about it, is that, from my perspective, and I taught myself Russian. You know, I mean, I bought books, you know, I read, and, you know, and then I watched their movies and stuff like that, you know, more or less because when I was a younger person, I was fascinated by our Cold War enemies. And then come to find out that they were just the same kind of put upon people that we are. Although, you know, they're probably a little more literate in some ways. But I don't think that they have any illusions about what their government's about, what their fellow human beings are about either. They're a very strange, paranoid people. But that's the people that live over there. You know, when I was a much younger man, nowadays, I don't know what it's like. I couldn't even begin to tell you. But what I do understand is this, is that Lee Harvey Oswald was indeed a patsy. From my perspective, and from everything that I've read and seen today, I'm just like, how does anyone not see that this guy was played? He was played. They gave him this guy, John D. Hurt's phone number, in order to contact him, thinking that he actually had somebody within the intelligence community that was going to help him get himself bailed out. And when he, you know, apparently when he called this guy, didn't say anything, didn't get a chance to because the guy canceled the call. And so that meant Oswald was on his own. And I'm of the mind that had Oswald not made that phone call to get himself bailed out of trouble, he would still be alive. That's my honest opinion. Because if he's looking for a way out, he's going to talk. And if he's not looking for a way out, well, then he's a patriot. And they wouldn't have that. They would have found a way to get him out of there. My thought is this: Lee Harvey Oswald was a useful idiot that couldn't have made those shots. Not in a million years, not with the Mannlicher Kirkhammer rifle, not with the bullets that they showed, none of this stuff, none of it. It's a complete fabrication and fiction. That whole story of a lone nut changing the course of American history is bullshit. And I honestly believe now more than ever that it was a conspiracy through and through. I actually watched the Oliver Stone 30th anniversary of JFK Revisited, and I'm gonna be honest with you, after watching that plus this and some other things, I would, in any court of law, they would be like, you know what, this really needs to be looked at, because what we've got here is a pile of shit and the truth isn't anywhere on it. I mean, I'm not kidding. It's like, you know, where's the chicken sandwich? All I've got here is parsley. What the fuck is this? So, you know, that's an analogy or something to that effect. My point is, if your government can lie to you for fucking 60 years, let's see, it'll be 60 years next year that Kennedy has been dead. 60 years. And there's plenty of information out there that would probably tell the complete story and probably out the people that did it, but they keep pushing it back, keep pushing it back, and keep pushing it back. And the reason why is almost 100% certain that if the truth were to be told and the truth were to be known, some people's political careers would be over, or some people's political dynasties would be cut off at the knees, just like it should be. But I digress. You see, I've had an interesting, I've had more than one interesting discussion this week about the state of our country and the basically what amounts to a giant conspiracy against the American people. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you voted in the last election and you don't think that shenanigans are going to happen this time around, they're setting it up right now. They're setting it up right now to where we're going to have yet another wave of COVID, and we're going to have to buckle down and mail in ballots again. At which point I'm just going to throw up my hands and be like, you know what? I'm not going to bother voting because it doesn't change a fucking thing when your vote is rigged. So I'm not, I actually tell you, after 2020, I'm pretty well done with voting. I know that sounds, you know, like I'm giving up, or it's like I'm just giving up the illusion. I don't want to pretend anymore. I want to live a life that has some meaning to it. I want to live a life that's got some integrity, you know. I want to go through life knowing that what I do actually means something and makes a difference. And the thing of it is that voting is like the biggest responsibility you as an American citizen have. And if you find out that it doesn't matter if you're the one that's doing the dishes, somebody's just going to come along and put them in a dishwasher anyway and dirty them up again. See, that's the thing, is that it doesn't matter if you vote. Now it doesn't matter at all, because they can already have predetermined outcomes via, you know, the algorithms that they put in these voting machines. Doesn't matter how many paper ballots go through it. They've already proven that. You know, you had all kinds of shenanigans in 2020. Not to mention the guy named what's-his-face over there in Minneapolis got popped for ballot harvesting for Ilhan Omar. And it... And then on top of everything else, you've got the illusion that we have all these shortages, when in fact it's just big business, I think, hoarding stuff. The shortage that they have for baby formula right now, if anybody didn't know any better, they might want to take a look at WIC, because the WIC program, they are the ones that buy the biggest amounts of these baby formula contracts in order to make sure that, you know, their welfare recipients are taken care of. So, yeah, our own government buys up the most amount of baby formula ever. Just like we're giving away more of our strategic oil reserve to Europe. We're not keeping it for here in the United States. No. Not only are we keeping food out of the mouths of American children, but we're also keeping gasoline out of the tanks of American cars. This is the epitome of an administration that spends money that it doesn't have for people that it's trying to impress. Meanwhile, everyone else stands around going, "What the fuck? You know, this is what my tax dollars are paying for." So, yeah, I'm not voting. I'm not represented at all. My representatives don't return any of my emails or phone calls. They just think that I'm just some kind of idiot, you know. So I'm like, well, whatever. You don't want to be my representative. You don't want to answer to me at all as a citizen. Fuck off then. You're not getting my vote. I'm certainly not going to pretend that you're actually anybody to me now. Now, we have a lot of failings in this country, and we're not holding our politicians, for the responsibility that we should. And the reason why we don't is because we're all struggling. We're all struggling to stay afloat. We don't have time to be chasing down a representative saying, hey, why are you guys fucking us? I know that that's a very crass way of putting it, but that's actually the most honest. Why are you people fucking us around? If we were to frame that as, like a sign, put up every overpass near their houses or offices. Dear Congress, dear Senator, why are you fucking us? Your constituency. Who do you serve? Sure, shit isn't people like me. But I digress. But anyway, I had this thought about John D. Hurt, the guy that was on the business end of the phone call that came from Lee Harvey Oswald. My first thought was, if he was like, because he says in an interview he didn't know who Lee Harvey Oswald even was, blah, 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 blah. But yet at the same time, this guy has ties to this little monster factory in Nag's Head where they found disaffected loners that could be sent to the Soviet Union to be educated and all that other stuff. Much in the same way that I was, singled out early on in my life, the disaffected loner. But it's amazing when you have a will of your own and, you don't trust anybody. Which, gave me a startling revelation about my own parents. It was like, my parents fucked me up in a way that actually was almost beneficial. So I was like, wow, how did that happen? If my father, who may or may not be still alive, if you're still listening there, no harm, no foul. You've taught me some incredibly useful life lessons. I don't really care that we don't ever speak again, but just letting you know, there's no hate here. I just want you to know that because of you, I can see through anything. It's amazing. And what a tremendous gift to have. Anyway, Christ in heaven, I had to go get a job with the FBI. And what do you think of this guy? Oh, I know he's full of shit. It's like, you can pick that out a mile away. Look, he's breathing. he's been in Congress how many years? We know he's full of shit. Ah, man, Ray Charles could see this, and he's dead. But anyway, where I was going to go with all of this, because I keep getting sidetracked with other things, because I have no filter today. I have no direction. I had no real plans to actually do a show tonight, but I the heat has done something to my brain. I don't know. It just either woke up, or maybe that nap that I had earlier today is paying a dividend, saying, I feel almost ambitious, like I should do something creative today. Like, I don't know, make fun of other people. Or I can talk about something meaningful, like this guy named John D. Hurt, who really kind of is a mystery, because they don't really know that much about this guy. But I have this theory, and I think it's probably going to be one of those bizarro conspiracy theories that's going to absolutely be completely fictional. But I have a feeling that, given what I know about reality, I may not be that far off the mark. And the reason why I say this is because this guy was just a guy up until about 47. And then all of a sudden he earned his chops, and all of a sudden this guy is in the intelligence community doing stuff. But then shortly after that, his health starts to decline. And what happened in 1947? Does anyone remember outside of me? Roswell happens in 47. What happens, and here's the thing, is that let's say that this guy, right, he was just a guy up until 1947, and then all of a sudden a big deterioration starts to happen to him. His mental faculties start to fail. He starts to have issues. He starts to develop all kinds of personality problems. He starts to lose body parts, fingers and all this stuff because of some kind of arthritic type of illness. And I know that they diagnosed it as something else, but my first thought is, what causes you to go crazy and lose body parts and you become incredibly unhealthy? And my first thought was exposure to probably extraterrestrials and radiation. I know that that sounds like total tinfoil hat stuff, but that was actually where my brain went when I thought of this guy. Now, I know that I'm probably just pulling something out of my behind here. But if you'll follow along, you might understand why. See, I read this book by Fletcher Prudy, and honestly, I think that he is one of the more enigmatic characters that sails around in the periphery of the intelligence community. He's very interesting, but also very nebulous. You know, a lot of people say this and that about him, but my first thought is this guy, he died with a lot of fucking secrets. I know he did. But I know that there are people every day that die that take secrets to their grave and will do so because they're patriots or they fear the consequences of ever telling those secrets. And I think John D. Hurt, this guy whose claim to fame was to be that guy that got the crank call from, you know, Raleigh, you know, from Texas, you know, from Lee Harvey Oswald. I think that that man was stricken with some kind of illness that he couldn't talk about, which caused him to lose his mind, which caused him to lose body parts, and then, you know, eventually die. He's not around. He's been dead since, like, I think the 80s. But a guy named Grover Proctor was talking about this guy. And other people tried to interview him, and he was very evasive and stuff like that. But there's been a lot of people that have been involved with the Kennedy assassination stuff and the lore and the testimony and stuff like that. And they've gone to ground and disappeared out of nowhere. And so my first thought is, why? I mean, this is something that's been, you know, this is 50, 60, almost 60 years now. What octopus has that kind of reach to where it can affect people that far along? Most of the key players are dead and gone. All the people that were around during the time of that are dead and gone. Who can be reached now? You can't reach back into the void and pull somebody who was responsible for the Kennedy assassination out of the ether and make them accountable. They're dead. They're gone. You know, you're not going to break out a Ouija board and get confessions from, you know, from anybody here at this point. So realistically, what is this really about? Well, I've had this fascination with the Kennedy assassination since about 1976, when my mom sat me down and was telling me about John F. Kennedy. For no reason, she was talking to me about it. I think it was because we were talking about history and you know, we were in school and all that stuff. And I think that it just kind of came up as an organic conversation because I was learning about it in grade school. And that being said, my mom, I would say, is probably the one that probably planted the first conspiracy theory seeds inside my brain. Because she never believed that Oswald was the lone assassin. She believed that, you know, there was more people involved and all that other stuff. And I don't know why, but she just had that feeling. And much in the same way that I am associating John D. Hurt's disabilities with crash retrieval from Roswell. I know that that sounds crazy, but it's entirely plausible. Because the way they described this guy's disabilities, my first thought was, that's radiation poisoning. That's what it sounds like. But the psychological issues, that seems to me more along the lines of something that he encountered that may or may not have gotten inside of his head. So that's my drift into the paranormal where the Kennedy assassination is concerned. I think that there are people that have been in the intelligence community that were involved with things like Roswell and all of that stuff, whose top secret security clearances are probably still under wraps right now. I just have a feeling that we live in a society, like I said, where there's two kinds of Americans. There's the ones that are behind the scenes, and then there's the rest of us who only get the glimpse every once in a while that something isn't right. And I've seen some stuff behind the curtain a little bit. I've read enough, I'm actually a pretty learned guy in that department. And I just have different opinions than a lot of people. So that, of course, is going to make me a little unusual. But when I started to look into this guy, it's entirely possible that he was in that vicinity because of what he did and what offices he worked out of. So for all I know, like I said, I could be completely wrong. But if I was ever right, that'd be some funny shit. I'd be like, whoa, look at that. I even picked it, Much in the same way that I seem to be about half right about Ukraine right now. There's a lot of stuff going on over there. Apparently, we've got our government pretending like it's in control, trying to tell Russia, you guys need to pull an immediate ceasefire, otherwise we're going to get involved. It's like, fuck you, are you serious? We have some real shenanigans going on over there right now. And I just, there's so much spin and so much disinformation coming out of that part of the world. Plus, there's so much disinformation coming out of our own government, not to mention the fact every day we're treated to a new ration of bullshit. I am of the mind that there is nothing that should be trusted unless you see it with your own eyes. And even then, you want a second set of eyes to verify. Because there's nothing that's real to me right now. I mean, you could tell me that Martians had set up shop down the street, and I'd be like, really? Like, I don't see anything from here. Don't tell me their ship is cloaked. I know that they don't have that technology yet. I'm from the future. No, I've seen enough bullshit to where I'm just kind of like, you've got to be kidding me. But today's been, like I said, a mixed bag of me reading and looking at some things that, I was trying to find something that I hadn't seen before with regards to Kennedy, mostly because I'm of the mind that the person known as John D. Hurt was actually this fabrication. I mean, he was a real person, but I think that he was used as a, like a decoy, so that if Oswald did get caught or if Oswald did get into trouble, he would phone somebody and then, they would know whether or not to go kill him. And I think that Jack Ruby, being the useful person that he was and what he was involved in and all that other stuff, pretty sure Jack Ruby was intelligence. I'm not saying for who, but I got a feeling that he worked in the intelligence community, much like a lot of these weirdos did back in the day. You want to see something interesting? Take a look at what went on with the Wernher von Braun rocketry program and all the weird shit that came out of that. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of things that we don't know about our own history because we're not taught it. And when we start to find out really who's really been running things and what kind of crazy nonsense there is, the fiction part of it doesn't even seem, that far off the mark anymore. Because the truth is even more bizarre. I mean, it's the kind of shit that you're like, I couldn't write this in a million years. And I make shit up for a job. That's my job. I'm a writer and an artist. I fabricate things. That's my job. And yet I don't have the imagination apparently to to make that leap. But although today, though, I did take a leap of into crazy town thinking that, you know, it's possible that John D. Hurt was involved with the crash retrieval or involved in some kind of crash retrieval with UFOs because of where he was and all that other stuff. And if I was right about that, hey, that'd be fantastic. They'd be like, holy shit, aliens killed JFK. No, that's not where I was going with any of this. But it was just a random thought that I had today after hearing about this guy's illness. So I know that the show is not what you expected, and it never is, because I never know what I'm doing until about 5 minutes before I set up the microphone. Anywho, I haven't seen anything really interesting as far as like UFO stuff. I've been looking though. Been looking for all kinds of weird stuff. But apparently there's a dog and cat bill of rights going through California right now. My pets will be glad to know this. I got rights. You can't put me in timeout. I got rights, you know. You destroyed a couch. I'm looking at you, Lily. It's, you know, if when you have an animal that's destructive, you do have to, you know, and then, you know, take whatever it is that's trying to destroy and you take it away from them. You know, under these new lines, you know, with California being what it is, I'm sure that you, well, it's your own fault for letting that happen. And so you can't discipline your dog. It'll be something stupid, I guarantee it. You know, it's just, the thing about government is that it doesn't ever stop. There's never a day where it just stops going into your life and wanting to become more and more of a part of it. You know, not only are they, you know, coming after your kids, but now they're coming after your fish, you know, your goldfish, your pets, your dogs, your cats, your lizards, your parrots, all that stuff. The one funny thing that I did read the other day was somebody had encountered, I guess, a Moroccan parrot. And on this person's way out, it said, goodbye, fat ass. And I thought to myself, that's got to be the funniest goddamn thing I'd ever heard. Because it's a bird. And birds do some goofy shit. And it's funny. I mean, it's incredibly funny to me. When animals, when they act out and they say things, you know, especially the ones that can talk, those are funny. Those are awesome. I watched this video about this guy in Australia had a talking parrot that would scream saying that it was being murdered and attacked and stuff like that. And the police show up and then they're like, you know, they're going to arrest this guy. And he says, look, just let me go inside. I'll bring the bird out. And they bring the bird out and you can see these cops doubling over in laughter because of this bird is just carrying on about all this shit, you know? And it's just like, oh my God. But it's that kind of stuff that I get a kick out of. I love animals. But would I have a parrot? Fuck no, not this late in the game. Maybe when I was in my 20s I would have, but I don't know. Anyway, I'm just kind of going on my own little tangent today. Can't find anything really that new and exciting to really talk about. It's just been a day, you know. Apparently, if you were involved in crypto, you're going to be taking a bath. Oh, the blood moon. That's today, the blood moon eclipse. That's a good thing. I guess the queen must have enjoyed her human sacrifice. She's back to good health. Let's see here. Russia had a fourth man as a spy inside the CIA. Oh, tell us something we didn't know. Apparently, the Marcos family of the Philippines owns a an illegitimately acquired Picasso painting. Man, there's some crazy stuff going on in the world. Wow. This is insane. But nothing good and exciting. Apparently, Elon Musk is backing out of Twitter. He's thinking about it. And I'm like, I don't blame you. It's overvalued. It's not worth it. Plus, look what you're inheriting. You could just build a whole new system for that kind of money. Oh, my God. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the Twin Cities. They found the body of a missing woman from Mankato. And I got this vibe when I saw the photo. All I could think to myself is that's not going to have a good ending. And I had this other thought, too. I was wondering how many people whose photos that show up where they are incredibly happy looking, right? What is the percentage of those people who have these photos that are beautiful, happy people? What percentage of those people are actually found safe and sound? Why is it always the guys that look like they're scared out of their damn minds that they find safe and sound? Because I've seen literally probably a half a dozen photos of, you know, this senior citizen apparently didn't come back from a walk. I can't find him. And it's always this guy that looks like he's got his head in the headlights, you know, like a deer. You know, like, what the fuck is that? Is that a camera? You know, I don't even know what a camera is. You know, one of those things where it's like they have no idea what kind of technology is being pointed at. It might as well be a ray gun. And those people are found all the time. But you show me a picture of somebody who's smiling and happy and jubilant, and all of a sudden I get this vibe like, that person is not coming home. I wonder if there's a percentage, or what kind of, is there an algorithm somebody could look up? Like if, you know, you tell a story on the news about somebody who looks like this or has this sort of biography and their pictures and stuff like that, why is it always those happy people that end up being taken away from us? But why is it always these crazy people that look like they're, you know, like they've had like one or two drinks too many, or they're, you know, just generally disoriented? Those people, they find them all the time. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. That's probably the reason why. I mean, all of my pictures, they have that kind of psychopathic look. So, I mean, it's like, you know, people will find me. They will find me. There's none of this disappearing off the face of the earth and then turning up dead. No, the people will find me. They'll be like, oh, I know who that asshole is. I got an unmistakable face. And my personality is, well, if you've been listening to this podcast for more than 5 minutes, you have a pretty good idea what it is. It's a mixture of angry, crazy, and yet at the same time, approachable and not too busy to say hello. Oh, but anyway, I have not seen anything paranormal at all. As a matter of fact, when it comes to the paranormal stuff here in my haunted house, nothing. It's actually, my house has been very quiet. Weird. Although I will say, yesterday I had a moment where it was as if God had heard a prayer of mine and said, what this man needs is kittens, because I think Lily may have found a nest of kittens either by the fence or nearby, because all I heard was meow, 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 and Lily was over there real curious about something, but I didn't see anything when I went back there. So I'm thinking that I've got a mama kitty somewhere, probably under a porch, with some babies. And if I can find those babies, well then, I'm going to have some baby kittens. I love baby kittens too. They're just the most awesome creatures on the planet. Until they could become, you know, like full-sized assholes, like the one that I've got. He's an absolute fucking prick. But, you know, you bring them home and they become yours. So, what are you going to do about that? Well, I've been chatting for about 40 minutes. I think I need to dial this in and just put a cork in it, because I'm not really going anywhere with this show. And you probably are like, oh, look, he went off one of his tears again. But at least I was sober and didn't have any angry tooth problems. So that's a good thing. I'm not sure what Sunday's show is going to be, but I'm hoping the guest request that I sent in, I can get a word back. Otherwise, I'll just have to Might have to resort to making some shit up again, like, you know, having to arm wrestle Bigfoot for Reese's peanut butter cups or something like that. I don't know. Might have to make up something interesting. Maybe with any luck, I'll be abducted by aliens again. That'd be great. How you doing? Well, you know, it's been a while. So you're here to milk me like a cow? Is that what it is? Sure. Get on the thing. Get on the table. It's all right. No. He's calm. We don't need to tie him down or hit him with that death ray thing. He's all right. I'm like, hey. So, how you been? You know, one of those things. And then, and just picture the aliens right now. So, you know, he looks like he's a little too eager to be here. You feeling okay? You know, I just had a stressful week. That's all. No, that's good. That's good. Well, you know, I mean, anything we can do to take you out of your reality, that's all it's all about, you know. I mean, it makes me wonder about what the aliens might be thinking at this point, you know. It's like, you know what we have, you know who we haven't seen in a while? We haven't seen Tom in a while. We should definitely go down to St. Paul and see what he's up to. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Hey! Now that my freaking cardio is, like, done for the next month, my heart pulse rate's like 200 over 110, you know. Jesus Christ. I could probably fly around that room like a hummingbird. That's how fast my heart was beating. You know, calm down. It's okay. It's just us. Remember? Got to pilot the ship last time. Oh, yeah. Whew. Man. Ooh. You know, you had me confused there. I almost thought you guys were those reptiles. No. Those guys aren't coming ever. You know, those guys, they abduct cows. No, I mean, the idea of being abducted by aliens, I think, is absolutely terrifying for a lot of people because they don't have any control in their lives. And for me, it has everything to do with the fact that I think that as a child, you have these moments where you wish that you had friends that were a little different. And when you find out later on in life that you've had some different friends, but you didn't, you know what they really were, and you never really know what those scoop marks on your body are or how you have these moments of missing time and things like that. And you start to really question whether or not these are the kind of people that you want to hang around with. But what I do know is this. If I'm ever abducted by aliens, I'm going to do my best to try to get some selfies. Maybe just, you know, look, I'm going to tell them, look, no one's going to believe me anyway. Because it's me, you know. I have a podcast where I make fun of people all the time that talk about the paranormal. Even when I'm being serious and I'm actually telling people about the paranormal, they all think it's a joke anyway. So what's the harm in me taking some video footage, maybe a few selfies of us together? I want you to smile this time. Don't just get that blank look like you always have. You know, that would be the kind of thing that I'm going to try to do the next time I'm abducted, once I overcome the screaming and the fear and all that other stuff. Hopefully once they get me calmed down, I'll be like, oh, okay. Now I remember what we're going to do here, you know. And if they tell me no, I'll be disappointed. I will. But these are the things that happen. Not every extraterrestrial wants to be your friend. Some are there just doing a job. It's like a vet tech. Okay, here we're going to take his temperature, you know. Okay, he's healthy. Let's roll him over. Make sure he's tagged. Make sure he's got good reception. You know, one of those things, you know. That's the reason why I bought a whole bunch of magnets, so I can basically make myself a big leotard. What is it? I don't know what they call it. Unitard. Imatard. Something. Something where I can put magnets at these various points to disrupt that alien signal. And maybe possibly cure some arthritis, according to the people at the Shiatsu Massage Center. Use magnets to cure arthritis. I'm sure that it works. I truly do. I've got enough magnets right now to more or less pull the moon out of orbit. But that's for a whole nother conversation. I was actually going to quit talking, like, 5 minutes ago, and yet it's just like I feel compelled to. It's like I'm completely incapable of being quiet. Oh well, it is what it is. And it is. It's Friday the 13th, and I've only got 5 more minutes of it before it becomes Saturday the 14th. Once it becomes Saturday the 14th, then, well, I guess that means that I've dodged successfully another terrible, cursed day, maybe. All I know is, but if I do get abducted by aliens, please, please, if you see me overhead with a beam of light and a flying saucer leaning at about a 30-degree angle because they hadn't really thought it through, because I'm molecularly dense and kind of fat. If you see a flying saucer looking like it's popping a wheelie flying through the east side of St. Paul, call the police and take some video, because I would like to see that. And if you laugh during the entire point, I mean, I don't care if you laugh. If you think it's funny, if that looks like that UFO may not be able to get out of the sky because it's dragging my fat ass behind it, I want you to say something. I want you to say, hey, that's that dude from that podcast. He wasn't kidding. He is fat. Something like that. You know, just add some legitimacy to what I'm doing here. And then post it to the internet. And then, you know, saying, hey, this is a guy that knows his stuff and you should listen. Because right now I'm the least listened to podcast on the entirety of the internet. And as much as I like having that title, I would love for more people to listen to this idiocy. Even though it's completely demonetized and I don't make any money off of it, I would like some popularity. Because at least I'm saying things that no one else is saying. And I don't know if it makes any sense, but I hope you had enjoyed tonight's show. And I am going to finally quit talking because I've run out of things that were funny. Well, I mean, I really haven't. I just, this thing is telling me it's going to shut off here in a minute. So anyway, I hope you have a fantastic evening. Take care. Good night.